says to the Lord, shall it please the house to turn again this afternoon to the third chapter, book of the prophet Jeremiah, verses 14 and 15. This 14th and 15th verses, book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 3. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you, one of a city, and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Whilst the prophecies were directed to the Jews and certainly are fulfilled and are being fulfilled still to that nation who indeed God chose from all eternity to be his peculiar people, and concerning who he says, this people have I called for myself, they shall show forth my praise, but it is not confined to the Jews. It is Jew and Gentile, and that is an unspeakable mercy, my friends, because that includes you and I, the Church of the Living God. And in every generation the Lord has had and still has and will have a people to serve him sometimes, perhaps very few, comparatively speaking, but at other times more. But in any case, they are, as we said this morning, a remnant according to the election of grace. And if you and I belong to this remnant, it will be our desire to realize it by the witness of the Holy Spirit with us and to us, that we know something of that wonderful word, they shall be mine in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his only son, the one that served. And so, my friends, that the word of God speaks, I hope we can say this afternoon again, speaks to us. And it is the most important word to us, because we all stand in need of it when he says, turn. Because as we read in the 53rd of Isaiah, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And it is to those that have turned everyone to his own way, the Lord himself in mercy says, turn. And how do we address them? Oh, backsliding children. But it is natural to sheep to stray, is it not? And the psalmist, I've often said this, and the wonder it is that at the close of that wonderful psalm, 119, after all the best things he's declared concerning his love for God's word, his statutes, his precepts, his judgments, and you know, the psalm goes on to some length concerning that which the psalmist loved, but as he comes down from the cloud, he says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for in thy word do I hope. And there is hope, my friends, in God. about the word. Oh, it is a wonderful word, and it is made some of us say, with a doubt, the word that I have rested on shall help my heaviest hour. And it does. And we come sometimes to God in prayer like this, do we not? Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which that calls me to hope. Well, he says, turn, O that study, children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you. We said this morning, there's nothing so sweet as marriage. Naturally, it's a wonderful, wonderful blessing of God to see how the two that were at one time completely unknown, the one to the other, are brought together. If we were favored this afternoon or any other time to get together and tell out the way in which we were favored to take our wives or our husbands, it would be most interesting and profitable and honored and glorified to God. But that, my friends, what it is so wonderful, is not so wonderful as what we have here before us, when God himself says to poor, lost, ruined sinners, such as you and I am married unto you. And they'll often be able to say with one, Lord, make the union closer yet, and let the marriage be complete. You see, before marriage was courtship. And here, of course, in the lowland world, in the church militant, it is, I feel, like the courtship, time when, you see, things are put to the test. But if the real love will stand the test, and there's real love on love's time. And this is the setting forth of his love, is it not? When he says, turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you. We said this morning, he doesn't say, you are married unto me. You see, it's always, I am married unto you. Yes. And the Lord is made known in his sacred word and in the experience of his dear people as a husband to his people, yea, the husband of the widow. I am married unto you, and the blessed city for God it is, I will take you, one of the city, and two of the family, and I will bring you to Zion. What a wonderful thing, my friends, to be brought to Zion. What a blessed place Zion is. And if Zion to know is such a blessed place, what must it be to be there? Zion above, where everlasting stream abides, and never withering flower. We cannot begin to enter into it, but my friends, we do know this. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor that it is the heart of man to conceive what God has made up for those who love him. Loving parents are always doing that for their children. Possibly a birthday in a few days, but when we get toward the end of the year, what we look upon as Christmas time, and then there's something purchased, something made up, and then the children look forward to that which has been laid up. They haven't been told it, but there's something about it that they believe there's something coming. Well, see, love speaks when you don't say a word. Because love is knowing that truth. Well, my friends, that's a very small figure, of course, what God is doing today, my friends. He's laying up for us something which we can never understand till we get to heaven. Oh, my friends, it is a great blessing if you and I know something of what heaven is before we get there. The Lord gives to his people a little urge to heaven. He, so to speak, lets heaven down in their souls. And the poet said, and I quite agree with it, I believe I've known it, is heaven on earth to hear and say, strength to be equal to a day. Well, we must come over to the other verse this afternoon. We have looked at the 14th verse, and there, what else does God say to these people that he is married to? He's going to make it manifest. He's going to do something for them, even here on earth, to show that he is faithful to the promise. He cannot deny himself. I will give you pastors according to my heart. And has he done it? Certainly he has done it. I know he gave you friends here at Kirkland a most faithful pastor when he sent George Wells. And I had the pleasure and blessing of sitting under that dear man's ministry when I was a boy. And I believe his ministry was much blessed to me in my youthful days. And now I feel that that ministry of that dear man who has long since gone to glory is very true in my own ministry. And who's going to get the honor of it? Not me. Nor George Rose. But there gone. To God be more glory. Yes. Not unto us, not unto us, but of thy name be glory, for thy mercy and for thy true sake. And I will give you pastor. What is a pastor? A shepherd. An under shepherd. One that God himself prepares. And where does he send his pastors, those he gives? How does he prepare them? And I speak from experience. You'll find them at the backside of the desert. You'll find them often in difficulty, often in danger, often at the very point of death, sometimes in the ward of a hospital, sometimes in a place where they just despair of ever living any longer. We had, says the apostle, who was a blessed pastor of the church in his day. He said, we had, as it were, the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God that raised the dead. And that's the way the Lord prepares pastors. And if he's doing so today, and I feel he is in some places, they're in the backside of the desert. And they've got to stay there till God's time comes. And they won't stay there a moment longer than he intends. And they won't come away from the wilderness a moment before he intends. Because you see, God's clock never wanes, never loses, and never stops. And it is, I feel, made known to us in the 8th chapter in the Epistle to the Romans, where the Apostle said, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And if you see the inside of the clock, you can't see it, of course, you can't see inside that car, but I know that looking into the glass, there's some wheels that go in one way and some go in the other. But they go one way and one the other to tell the correct time, and that's how God's glass works. You may be now in the time of adversity, but my friends, the day that adversity will cease presently, and you'll have a day of prosperity. And the word of God says to you and to me, in the day of adversity consider, in the day of prosperity rejoice, for God has set the one over against the other, at the end of man should find nothing after him. But now he says, I will give you pastors. Oh yeah. And if God gives the pastor, my friends, you'll know it, and he'll know it, because just as it is in natural relationships and marriage, I believe a God-given pastor is given for knowledge. I know there are exceptions, but for the most part, as the Lord gives a pastor, so he gives that man. That is how I look upon the pastor, of course. Others may look upon it different, but we know in some cases possibly there has been a difference. But I believe where the Lord raises up a man and unites that man to a people, you see, the Lord will see to it in due time that the marriage shall be a fruitful marriage, and that there shall be children. Oh, my friends, what a wonderful thing it is to watch in the church. I will give you pastors. And what kind of pastors? After my own heart. But a pastor after God's heart will never think he is. He'll never feel it. You'd have to leave others to say that. Let not thine own lips praise it. Oh dear, no. The last thing we want to do, my friends. But if the Lord commands his blessing, we shall know what it is to be after his own heart. David was spoken of as such. The Lord provided Israel a king after his own heart. But you see, David knew what it was to backslide. David knew what it was to go astray. David knew what it was for this time being the flesh to get the upper hand. And how sadly David fell. But we mentioned this morning Psalm 51, the Church of God would have never had Psalm 51 that the Spirit set before us in it, apart from David's sin. And I've often said how wonderfully the Lord works, that he overrules our very mistakes and blunders. That doesn't license us to make them, of course, but he overrules those things forever. And his glory. You can see that plainly in David's experience, because you see, Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, his mother married Bathsheba. Ah, you see, my friends, how grace reigns through righteousness unto every one that believeth. Well, now, I will give you pastors according to my heart. And that is the kind of pastor I would exhort you, friends, here, Kirkland, or wherever you may be, seeking a pastor. That's the kind of man to see. And if he is a man after God's own heart, he'll be the right man in the right place. And the Lord will send him to you at the right time. Your time, my time, is always ready, but God says, my time is not yet. But when his time comes, my friends, nothing can thwart it. And until his time comes, nothing can bring it back. What a wonderful thing it is that everything God does is with precision, perfection. That is why you can take out a calendar or an almanac or anything that tells you the time of the sunrise or the sunset and all those many things, even in years to come. There it is. God's got it all worked out. And you see, it doesn't come one moment to sin, no, one moment to mind, because his work is perfect. Well, you know, this is the perfect work of God. I will give you pastors according to my heart. And this is indeed a gift of God to the church, when he does bestow pastors to the church. Those that are equipped and qualified to go forth and lead the people in those paths they have to go, having had to pass that way himself or themselves, as the case may be. And then you see what their hand and tasting thought, then they hear it, and it comes home to the hearts of the hearers, to the members of the church, or the members of the congregation. You say, now we can feel a little like it was in Samuel when he went to the house of Jesse. And of course, Jesse had a considerable family, and most of Jesse's family were gathered together, but not all of them. Not all of them. You see, the one that God intended, then he was probably caught in it. He was still with the sheep in the wilderness. He was away from home, looking after those sheep, possibly enjoying the experience that is set before us in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie well in green pastures, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Oh, what a blessed experience, man. What a suitable portion for us to read at the bedside to be afflicted. Yes. Oh, what a blessed portion is that 23rd Psalm. And when the Holy Spirit comes and helps us to say, the Lord is my shepherd. Oh, many times we've said, is he my shepherd? But when the Spirit comes, we'll say, yes, he is. He is. The Lord is the one to give the direction and the relationship and make it known to us. And the Holy Spirit is the one that brings these things home with a sweet realization. But to return for a moment to Jesse's family, they passed before Samuel, and the Lord is speaking silently to Samuel, and he keeps saying, no, not this one. Not this one. And of course, Samuel himself quite thought when he might have came, oh, this is the one. But the Lord says to Samuel, he says, the Lord seeth, not as man seeth. Man looketh on the appearance, but God looks upon the heart. Is to be a pastor according to mine heart. And so, of course, all those sons, how disappointed Samuel must have felt. The Lord had directed him to Jesse's house, and the sons passed by, and nothing happened. Isn't that so, that's often? Ministers keep preaching, and as far as we see, nothing happens. But we don't know what's happened. I didn't know what was happening the last time I was here, but you see, the Lord knew all of that. Directed me to say what I did. And I had I've had to bless God for it since. But I heard the good news, and I hope I should hear some more good news. Not because I am here today, but God is here. And therefore, I will give you pastors according to my heart. When they were, Samuel says to Jesse, is he all my sons? Is this all the son of God, Jesse? Well, good one. They've done this. He's with the few sheep of the words, and he didn't say so, but it appeared as if they were come to call him in. Well, Samuel says, we can't sit down till he comes in. And this was so in Jesse's time. And of course, they send for David, the least, the smallest, the youngest, the most unworthy, you've got to be no doubt.
Ah.
But God had done a lot for David. No one would have known so much about David. And it might be for David's God. And so, when David comes in, ruddy, and with a beautiful countenance, he comes in, does he not? And the Spirit of God speaks to Samuel. He says, rise, anoint him, this is he. Oh, the man was feared out of it, not now. Oh yeah. This is he. But is that the end of David's troubles? It's the beginning of them. Oh yes. We sometimes say a little comprehend, and all this is done, and the heart of the shore of the total remission of sin, when our peace proclaimed, our calm secure, come that moment. The conflict of but the anointing oil has been poured upon his head. This is he, and the days will prove that this is he. And so David is hunted like a partridge from the memory. David is brought so many places in the arrows. But you see, it hasn't been all one side of David. No, David, a day comes when David goes down to see how his brethren fare. Typical of just what these pastors do. We don't stay at home all the time, but to come to Kirkland and places to see our brethren fare. And we wish you well, brethren, in the name of the Lord, and pray for what he's done for my people at Red Hill. I don't say that boastfully, the Lord knows. I say it only. I want him to do for you. But now, David comes down. Oh, there's a man there. They're all running away from him. He's such a great figure. Oh, his description you'll find in the 17th chapter, 1 Samuel. And David says, oh, said, who is this man? Well, they give him the description, and of course, he said, I'll go and fight with him. What? You, David? Such a stripling as you? Fight with that man? He's been a warrior from his youth, and you're only a boy and a shepherd boy. And you've got no armor, and you've got no sword. You've got nothing. Ah. But he got the God of heaven for his help. And he says to this great brother, he says, you come to me with your sword, your stave, your shield, and everything, but I come to thee in the name of the living God, whose armies thou hast defied. And today I'm going to give your breath for the fellow of the year. What faith in young David's heart, but he's being fitted and prepared to the king of Israel. He's like Joseph, you know, whom we sing sometimes, now in prison cast, and next thing exalted, near as well. And David was exalted from the position of the shepherd boy to king of Israel, and I will give you pastors according to my heart. Well, we could go on about David, of course, but we want to come to the word of the text. I will give you pastors according to my heart. And in these days, my friends, in the gospel church, we feel such a need to be for this provision, because it might be all very well that visiting ministers, and I know some settle down in that, but I do feel this. It's God's will and God's purpose to fulfill this word to the Church of God in this gospel day. And I will give you pastors according to my heart. Now, a man that is a pastor according to God's heart, he won't suit everybody. Some will just hate him, but some will love him. And you know, I've said already about jealousy of love. An ounce of love is better than a ton of jealousy, putting it in that way of light. And so, my friends, don't fear too much the jealousy that springs from the devil. Now, by love, serve one another, says the apostle, as the pastor of the church in his day. Yes. And may there be that spirit of Christ among us, so that we might love our enemies and do good to those that despitefully use us and persecute us. You say, but I can't do it. You can't do it. And what you can't do, it is for you to come to God to do, that you might prove the truth of Psalm 121, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And as the Lord helps you, my friends, you'll be a help to each other, and the Lord will send help from the sanctuary and strengthen you. Every child, I will give you pastors according to my heart. And what are these pastors for? We are told here in the text, which shall feed. Now the gospel ministry is calculated to feed the flock of God. I believe that's the word that ordained it, after I have been asked to serve with a view to the pastor of that hill, as I was returning to my home, taking to a spot in the road in Cranmer, where the word came, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking it over some, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, not as being lords of God's heritage, but being sandwiched with the blood, and I believe through the mercy and grace of God I've been able to walk that truth out. For as far as filthy Luke is concerned, it has never been a concern to me in connection with the pastor. In fact, it goes the other way. If a man really loves the people, he'll leave everything to do what God intended he should. In them. And God alone bless that. I could tell you ever so much that I believe the Lord has done for me. And it is honor and glorifying to him and humbling me in the dust. Oh, it does indeed. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him. Now that's part way of a pastor, and that is the pathway of the church, and we come together in it. Oh, we do. And you see, we see God's hand together. And where you see God's hand, you'll be humbled by it, you will indeed glorify Him, and you'll say, blessed be God, for He hath heard and answered my prayer. I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you. And where there is a pastor, the flock will be fed. Oh, it will indeed. A good pastor, a righteous pastor, will not be like those pastors we read of in the prophecy of Ezekiel, who fed themselves. That's a very sad mark against any man who feeds himself. That man will be delivered from all selfishness, because you see, my friends, we are brought to see the evil of it. I gave my Sunday school an address the first Saturday in May from what I called to the children an ugly monster. It drew their attention directly, of course, an ugly monster. And I said, this ugly monster is called selfishness. And we brought it before them in that way so that they could not be selfish. And what a mercy, my friends, to be delivered from selfishness. Myself I cannot save, myself I cannot keep, but strength in thee I find would have, who hideth never sleep, who shall feed you. Yes, my friends, who shall feed you? And it is a hungry soul that needs feeding. It is the hungry and the thirsty soul that will find the blessedness of what we read this afternoon. How every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come by wine and milk, live money and live life. Jesus' market suits as well, doesn't it? Because you've got an empty pocket, an empty purse. In fact, the Lord directed His servants when He sent them forth to take now the scripture shoes, their purse were empty. Then afterwards He says to them, lack ye anything? And if He says that to me this afternoon, I should have to say what they said, nothing. Nothing. Because the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knoweth them that trust in Him. You've had your day of trouble, haven't you? Your days of trouble. But you've proved the goodness of God in that very day. I seldom forget when I look at Psalm 46. Dear late Mr. Rowell's last visit to us at Bethel, that was his text. God is a refuge for us. A very present help in trouble. And the dear man was in trouble then. He's not in trouble now. He's delivered everything. He was indeed a brother of love to me and to many others, many of you, no doubt. He was one of those pastors after God's own heart. And it was his one desire to feed the people with knowledge and understanding. So, my friends, may we be favored still with the pouring on of these things. And you know what has been so sweet to me often? In fact, it was sweet to me when I began my period of probation toward the pastorate in January 1950. My own pastor died, who was of course my own father. He was then died by the late Mr. Rose, who was pastor here. You see how the Lord fits it all in as we go on. And then I've been called to go to Red Hill, and the very Lord's day when Father went there, I had to start my probation before the friends of Red Hill. What am I doing today? And that he led me to that blessed part of his word where it was made known to Elijah that Elijah was going to be taken. And when they said, "Knowest thou not that thy master will be taken from thy head today?" He said, "I know it. I know it." But what was Elijah's prayer? And what was my prayer at that time? And what has been my prayer when I sometimes had to stand in the stead of those who have been taken as of Charles Wendy, the murderers, in the taking away of their friends to rebel? What is this? Let the double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And as the Lord sees fit to take his servant home, and then grants to those who have left behind the double portion of his spirit. Oh, who are blessed that is. Yeah. And they shall, God says, possess the double. And if you're praying for the double, my friend, whether he's a book or the field, you shall have it. Oh, yes, because God has said you shall. And what Christ has said must be fulfilled. On this firm rock believers build, his word is this, poor sinners here, believe on me and vanish here, cease from your own works, bad and good, and wash your garments in his blood. I touch the tender, flat heart of one of our friends experienced every evening by repeating that. And she told me afterward, you know, she said, "That was so good to me when the war was on, there was my children in the air raid shelter, and I thought, whatever shall I do?" Her husband had gone off to duty, of course, and there was she with these two children. And then that came, you know, when the word of God comes, whether it comes straight from the Bible or whether it comes from the hymn book, so long as he's got a word, it fits in, doesn't it? And God makes it a fit. He makes it a fit. He'll give you just that word, my friend, that fits into your experience. Then are they glad because they'll be quiet. So you bring them to their desired haven. Ah, yes, the Lord knows how to speak to us. He knows what to say to us. And he knows when to say it. Well, now, may he take this and say it to you here, and cause an exercise in your heart. You as a church here, for this to be fulfilled in your lives. And I will give you pastors according to my heart, which will feed you with knowledge. What does this knowledge mean? Knowledge of what is right, how God is satisfied, a foe received a favorite, an alien made a child. Knowledge. What does knowledge mean? Well, says Peter as he closes his epistles, this, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we have read, have we not, from Isaiah 54, that you're all knowing, or similar words, from the least of them unto the greatest, all thy children. But you see, a man who has to feed the people with knowledge, he must know something himself. We can't get into the book and say, "Well, I think so." That would be enough. I've been in the witness box in court sometimes, and it wouldn't do for me to say, "I think so." You've got to know. You've got to speak of what you know, what you handled, tasted and felt, what you've seen. They won't listen to anything else, nor should they. Oh, there's too much of this thinking and surmising today, friend. You want somebody to know. And if you know, no one can teach you any of that. Any more than they could the man that was born blind and did all they could to, you know, put him to silence and bring him into trouble and perplexity. believe those that are raised up by God can speak just like that sometimes. Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. But one thing I know, whereas I was born blind, now I see, and who's given me sight? Oh, Christ Jesus the Lord is the one that gives sight. Sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, the lepers are cleansed, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And these are the ones that God has said he would send pastors to feed them with knowledge. Knowledge of themselves as sinners. Knowledge of themselves as sinners. Yes. This knowledge, my friends, and it's all found between the two covers of this sacred volume. Man, know thyself should be a motto. Because when we've got to know something of our own sin body, we know we've got nothing to boast of, either in the sight of God or in the sight of men. But this is the knowledge you want. This is the knowledge I desire from you. This is the knowledge I desire for myself. To know my Jesus crucified. By heart, sound of all things beside. Not even all terrestrial things. Near to my soul, two pleasure rings. Shall feed you in knowledge. Knowledge. Oh, blessed word this is. There are many people today, of course, fulfilling the prophecy of Daniel, they run to and fro, and knowledge is increased, but that's not the knowledge of the text. No. That's the knowledge of the world. The knowledge of the text connects to wisdom. Wisdom. And when God appeared to Solomon, the son of David, and said to him, ask what I should. He says, oh, give my servant wisdom. And if any man, or woman, or child, lack wisdom, let them ask of God, who giveth unto all men liberally, and upbraideth not, knowledge shall feed with knowledge and understanding. And where do we find the understanding? It's also to be found in here, my friends. You won't find it anywhere else, but you will find it here. Says the psalmist, give me understanding. But what a good thing to be brought to the end of hours. Asaph was, would he not? Read again in the 73rd Psalm. Asaph was in a state, wasn't he? No, he wasn't in a state. But he finished up better, didn't he? Finished up in a different state, didn't he? You would argue that he was the same man, speaking at the end of the psalm as it was in the beginning. In the beginning he said, as for me, my feet are almost gone, my steps are well nigh slipped. I was envied of the enemies of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. But as he goes on in the psalm, oh, what a wonderful training comes. And how does he get the training? How should you and I get the training? By going into the sanctuary of God. That's the place where mysteries are often solved. That's the place where God has promised to visit his people. I went, he says, into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I therein. And that is where you'll get understanding, my man, in God's help. Because he has the purposes to be so. It is his will and purpose for us to remember the word of the apostle and recite not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the approaching, and if you approach, then how much nearer we are to it today. But knowledge and understanding. No, how beautifully does the dear psalmist conclude that wonderful psalm, 107, where it set before us the very pathway of the pilgrims, the pathway of pastors and people alike. When we read there, he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to the city of habitation, whose builder and maker is God. And the ups and downs, the ins and outs, that the psalmist described there at one o'clock. Remember once, going one Lord's Day afternoon to take a service about 35 miles from home, and of course we had to eat our sandwiches on the way and so on to get there in time. And I hadn't been many miles on the road before I began to look up and ask the Lord, well, then, what's the word for this afternoon, Lord? And this time, they go down to steam ships that do business in great waters. They see the works of the Lord, and they wonder in the deep. I felt settled in that word that I got to speak of. Would you know that was trying? That was trying. Before I'd gone many more miles, there was a terrific bang in the back of my car. And I said to the young man that had been with me driving, he happened to be eating his sandwiches, and I was driving, and I thought I was, of course, in my car. I said, what's happened? Is it somebody hit him? And of course that meant denying. And Satan is ready to suggest when you get to deny, it's a denial. Here, doctor's going to preach with that text, and are you going to get there now? That's how God works, and that's how Satan works against God. God gives you stuff, and then Satan tries to snatch it away. Well, we found them in the east, we found the ambulance. Ambulance came and took the young man away that was injured. And I and my friend, with the help of the police, got things sorted out. And I got there just in time to go straight into the pulpit and read the 107th Psalm. And how does that psalm conclude? Can I preach on that text, of course? How does it conclude? Whoso is wise and will observe these things, he will later understand. That's how we get understanding, my friends. By walking down. Walking down. There can't be understanding any other way. It's all very well to read good books and all very well to read the guides about the ministers, but you've got to know it for yourself. I once heard of a minister preaching somewhere in the very side, you know, and they said, that man's got a good Bible. He said, yes, I thought he had. It isn't a good Bible, friends. It's this knowledge and understanding we want in the church. And we want such men that are brought, trying as it may be to the flesh, to this knowledge and understanding, knowledge of their own weakness, and little understanding of God's greatness and almighty power. Well, now the clock tells me I must say amen. And so may the Lord bless these few remarks. And while you may forget all that this poor sinner has said, you need not forget God's word, because it is before you in black and white, and if you are inclined to forget it, you can find it again in Jeremiah 3, verse 14. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I have married unto you, and I will take you, one of a city, and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. As I read this again, my mind has gone to one of the quaint sayings of the late John Camp, that I also used to hear in my boyhood days, and the dear old man would often say, friends, it's not Christ and Curl. Christ must be first, Christ must be last, Christ must be all in all, who died to set to make salvation sure and raise us from the fall. The Lord bless his own truth for his name's sake.